Jesus in Decapolis, chapter 42. Because the Lord Jesus had cured the Canaanite woman's daughter who was possessed by the devil, he no longer could remain in the land of Tyre and Sidon. Soon this miracle would be known throughout the entire land, and Jesus' whereabouts would be revealed. Therefore, the Savior left this region and went with the disciples to the eastern side of the Sea of Gennesaret. A map is printed in chapter 14 of the New Testament where you can see all this. The country to the east of the Sea of Gennesaret was called Decapolis. High hills and barren, lonesome places were there, and where no one dwelt, but much cattle grazed upon the grassy slopes of these hills. Even though the Lord Jesus and his 12 disciples go to Decapolis to be alone, it seems as though some people recognize him and large groups of people go to this place where Jesus is. Oh, how is it these people recognize the Lord Jesus? You must give me your best attention. I told you in chapter 34 that the man of Gadara, who was possessed by the devil, was cured. Do you still remember it? It was there the devils entered the swine, and the entire herd of 2,000 swine plunged from the precipice into the sea. Surely you still remember that the inhabitants of Gadara requested Jesus to depart from them, do you not? Jesus went away, but the restored man who also wanted to enter the ship was not permitted to do so, but wherever he went he had to tell what had happened to him. This he did, for we find it recorded in Mark 5 verse 20. Let us read it together. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. The inhabitants of the province listened to him, and they did not ridicule him. On the contrary, we read, and all men did marvel. The people knew who this man was. They knew he had made the entire vicinity unsafe. And now they are amazed to hear him preaching to them. What he told them was no lie, it was the truth. This they could see. They marveled about the miracle which had been performed upon him. Now the report is quickly rumored about that this same mighty prophet has come into their country. See them seeking Jesus. They want to see and hear this wonder-working prophet. They come from all directions, and soon the Lord Jesus is surrounded by a great multitude. Jesus climbs a hill and sits down. From this hill he will teach the multitude. He will bring the gospel to them. Behold, they bring an afflicted man to the Lord Jesus. He is possessed with a deaf and dumb spirit. In God's word we read that they brought to him a man who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. This afflicted man only could utter unintelligible sounds, which surely was a terrible thing for him. No one could say anything to him. He could not hear nor understand. If he had need of anything, or if he had pain, he couldn't tell anyone, for he was dumb. We also have many deaf and dumb people in our country. O children, never mock or tease such afflicted people. The Lord will not leave such things unpunished. It is your duty to help those people in everything. Happily, there are special schools for such deaf and dumb children. This deaf mute is brought to Jesus. The inhabitants of Decapolis believe Jesus can cure this man, for didn't he deliver the man possessed with the evil spirits? The friends of this deaf and dumb man ask Jesus if he will lay his hand upon the afflicted man. The Lord Jesus stands up and goes a little distance away with his deaf mute. We read in the Bible that he took him aside from the multitude. Why? The Lord Jesus wishes to cure him unseen. He will not make a show of his benefits. The emphasis must not be placed upon temporal blessings, but it must be upon spiritual blessings, the blessings which he will merit for his people. Therefore he took him aside. After Jesus withdrew himself and this man, he put his fingers into this man's ears. Jesus spits upon the ground and touches the tongue of this poor man. Why did he do that? Was it necessary? He only had to say one word and the deaf mute would be cured. What objective does Jesus have with these actions? If Jesus had spoken, this man would not be able to understand it, for wasn't he deaf? Neither could he give an answer, for he was dumb. This man could see by Jesus' actions that something was going to take place. By these actions, he could believe Jesus was able to cure him of this double infirmity. However, more is recorded in God's word. We read, "The Lord looked up to heaven and sighed." This looking up of Jesus signifies he prayed to his heavenly Father. He also sighed. Why? All miseries, all diseases are the result of sin. Isn't sin ruinous? Do you ever think about that? Jesus sighed because the consequences of sin are so dreadful. Listen, this word resounds from the lips of the Savior, Ephphatha. This means, be opened. At the same moment, the deaf ears are opened and the bound tongue is made loose. The deaf mute hears and speaks. What a wonder! Yes, a double wonder. Jesus has command over every sickness and infirmity. They both return to the multitude. Jesus commands the people not to tell anyone what has happened. However, the command is not obeyed, for they tell everyone about the miracles which were performed by the prophet from Nazareth. We read, "So much the more, a great deal," they published it. More people continue to congregate around Jesus. They bring with them their sick and afflicted ones. Lame ones hobble laboriously along, but a lively hope of recovery lies in their eyes. Relatives or friends lead the blind by the hand. With great expectation, the dumb come to Jesus. The paralytics are carefully carried. Yes, the people bring many others to Jesus, regardless of what ailment they may have. They place them at the feet of Jesus. Without exception, the Lord Jesus cures them all. Surely gladness and joy prevailed among these people. The multitude watch in speechless astonishment. They see the dumb talking, the paralytics stand and walk, the cripples throw away their crutches and walk, the blind are let go by their guides. They can see and no longer need an escort. The thousands of people who are present glorify the God of Israel. The Lord Jesus also preaches for the assembled multitude. We do not read in God's word that he spoke to them in parables. Undoubtedly, it was not necessary, for no Pharisees and scribes were there who would mock at his words. Some writers say these people were very ignorant, and for this reason the Lord spoke very plainly so all could understand him. Otherwise, what benefit would they derive from it? Many hours pass. The people forget the time as they listen very attentively to the pleasing words of Jesus. They are not bored by his preaching. Is it that way with you too, boys and girls? Alas, with most of you it is just the opposite. If the church service lasts too long, and many get angry, most of you become bored. The sooner the minister says amen, the better it is. And when you leave the building, you go away murmuring. Isn't that often true? Not with all of you, but with many it is so. Here in Decapolis, the people do not murmur, and they have no desire to leave Jesus. Night is approaching. They do not care. The audience stretch themselves upon the ground and go to sleep with the heavens as their covering. This was possible in the land of Canaan because it was so warm. Again the following morning, they surround the Lord Jesus and listen to his preaching with as much attention as the day before. The second day passes by. Night again approaches. Again they sleep upon the hard ground. Not even on the third day do they leave the Lord Jesus. It doesn't enter their minds to return homeward. This is a very shaming example for us. However, most of them have no more food remaining. Up to the present time, hunger did not bother them or thirst did not trouble them. The preaching of Jesus caused them to forget everything. But the Savior knows many people will not have enough strength to go to their homes. They do not notice it now, but later hunger will gnaw with double force. They will collapse on the way because many of them must walk hours before they reach home. The Lord Jesus has compassion on them and decides to first feed them. Feed them? Feed so many people here in this solitary wilderness? That cannot be done. It is impossible. Nothing is impossible with the Lord. Just look and see what happens. Jesus ceases preaching on the evening of the third day. He calls his disciples to him and says, "This multitude has continued with me 3 days, and they have no more food to eat. If I send them away without eating, they will faint on the way, for some of them have come from far." The disciples look at their master in astonishment. They do not know what Jesus wants. Of course, they did not forget the miraculous feeding of some time ago, but they do not expect Jesus to do the same thing again. Therefore they answer, "Whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude?" To feed all those people in the usual way is indeed impossible. Calmly, Jesus asks, "How many loaves have ye?" Immediately, their answer rings out, "Seven, and a few little fishes." And then, oh look, Jesus motions to the multitude to sit down. In amazement, thousands sit upon the green grass. The Lord Jesus stands up, asks a blessing upon the food, and begins to break the loaves into pieces. Again, the disciples walk with full baskets and distribute this delicious food by the handful to the people. The few fishes also are passed out. This makes a delicious, nourishing meal, bread and fish. The hungry multitude eats. There is plenty. No one need go away hungry. No, they eat until they have sufficient. They have bread remaining. The disciples walk among the multitude, and every piece of bread which is left is carefully gathered. Nothing is thrown away. This is a lesson for us. When they finally have gathered it all, it becomes evident there are 7 baskets full of leftover bread, although there was a multitude assembled together of 4,000 men, not counting the women and children. This is the second time Jesus fed thousands of people in a miraculous way. Afterward, Jesus lets the multitude go away. And we read in Mark, the Lord immediately went into a ship with his disciples and sailed away. Oh, why so quickly? Did these people also want to make him king? We do not know. The Bible is silent about it.